I want to thank our brother Mr. Graham and also Dr. Douglas for the welcome here to the pulpit this evening in our church in Lisburn. I've been here before at least on one occasion, and that was at the Children's Dead. The Reverend Martin was saying that you still remember that day. I don't know whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, but I'll not ask any questions just in case it's not favourable. But it's good to be back with you tonight. Some of you may be wondering how it come to be that I am called the Border Padre. Well, I preach in Auchnacloy, just sitting on the border. I can remember before I even took up the ministry there, preaching as a young student. I was in the middle of the message one night, and I heard the explosion just over the hill, as it were, and the little suspended roof in the church lifted and came down again, and I seen the men were very fidgety of themselves, and I thought, well, that's enough. The attention is gone. I may as well close the meeting. And I finished off the message sooner than I had planned. And I said, brethren, what was that? And they said casually, well, they've just blew up the police or the army checkpoint just over the hill, all less than 500 yards away from the church. But a number of the men in Auchnacloy were in the forces, and I was often called the Padre. They didn't call you the Mister or the Reverend. You just got the Padre. What does the Padre think? Because we're on the border and I was called the Padre, that's how I come to be known as the Border Padre. But it's good to be with you tonight. But ask you to turn to the Song of Solomon and the chapter 2. It's a little book. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and then the Song of Solomon. I want to concentrate our thoughts tonight on the 12th verse. The flowers appear on the earth. The time of the singing of the birds has come. Now, I was thinking of this, and I'm from the son of the soil, really. I'm a farmer's son. And you'll know by the end of the meeting, with all my polite words, you'll know that I'm a son of the soil. But I love the flowers, I love the springtime. And I was seeking the Lord, I didn't know what I was going to speak on tonight. And the Lord has laid this wee message upon my heart. In fact, this morning when I got up, and I don't know what it was doing in Lisburn, but it was snowing down in County Tyrone. And I said to my wife at the breakfast table, says, I doubt I may look at this message again for this evening, for it says the winter is past and the rain is over and gone, and it was snowing. But whenever the Lord lays a message on your heart, no matter what it's doing outside, we have got to preach what the Lord has given to us. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, and the verse 1. I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. As the lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Stay me with flagons, comfort me with apples, for I am sick of love. His left hand is under my head, and his right hand doth embrace me. I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hinds of the field, that ye stir not up nor awake my love till he please. The voice of my beloved. Behold, he cometh leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. My beloved is like a roe or a young hart. Behold, he standeth behind our wall. He looketh forth at the windows, showing himself through the lattice. My beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. The flowers appear in the earth, the time of the singing of the birds has come. The voice of the turtle is heard in our land. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grape give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. O my love, that art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stirs, let me see thy countenance. Let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines. For our vines have tender grapes. My beloved is mine and I am his. He feedeth among the lilies. Until the day break and the shadows flee away. Turn, my beloved, be thou like a roe or a young hart upon the mountains of Bether. We'll end our reading there, and we trust that God will bless to our hearts this evening the reading of his word. Let's bow together for a wee moment of prayer. Our Father, in these remaining moments of the meeting tonight, we pray that thou wilt captivate every heart and mind and thought. O God, as we take up thy word, we pray for the enablement and for the infilling of God the Holy Spirit. Lord, take this earthen vessel. Lord, empty it of everything that pertaineth to man. O God, fill it with the Holy Ghost and with the Spirit of God. Help us to preach, Lord, as a dying man to dying men and women. Give enabling strength and enabling grace. Lord, help us tonight to be God's anointed messenger with thy message. Help us, Lord, to exalt Christ, to lead souls to the cross. O God, I pray that thou wouldst save the lost tonight, that thou wouldst restore the backslider, edify the saints. We ask this in thy Savior's precious name. Amen. Amen. As I say, I want to look at this 12th verse, basically. The flowers appear on the earth. The time of the singing of the birds has come. Now, I believe that those who love the Lord are those who most often recognize and appreciate the world and the magnificence of God's great creation. In it we see the glory and we see the wonder of Almighty God. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 19 verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. And time again, in the New Testament, when we study the life and the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ, we find that Christ was in full sympathy with nature itself. And when speaking of riches and the futility of riches, Christ simply pointed to the lily in the field, and he instructed his hearers, saying, consider the lilies of the field. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. When Christ was teaching a message, he pointed to the lilies. He used nature to demonstrate what he was saying. Then on another occasion, Christ spoke of the sparrow, the little sparrow, and he pointed out the importance of the child of God to the Father. Using the example of nature, using the example of the sparrow. In Luke chapter 12, verse 6, Christ said, are not five sparrows sold for 2 farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God? Fear not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. When speaking of the importance and the value of the children of God, he says God cares for the sparrow. Ye are of more value than many sparrows. Christ was often in full sympathy with God's creation. His eye was never very far from nature itself. And so often, time and time again, Christ pointed to the elements of nature and he referred to them in his preaching. But here in the Song of Solomon, we find that the wisest of men, and in chapter 2, every verse, he's relating back to nature and to God's creation. And indeed, when we look at our text, verses 11 and 12, they would lead us to believe that the time of the writing of this chapter was this time of the year. It seems that in these verses that it was the springtime. 1st of March was the beginning of springtime for us. It may not feel like it tonight. The cold winter winds is blowing. The snow is coming and falling. But officially, the 1st of March
began the springtime for you and for me. Verse 11 says, for lo, the winter is past and the rain is over and gone. And then in verse 12 he says, the flowers appear on the earth and the time of the singing of the birds has come. It seems obvious to me that it is the springtime when Solomon lifts his pen and under the inspiration of God begins to write these words. And certainly when we sit back and take the time to think, springtime, this season of the year, has much in itself to teach us about the greatness and the goodness of our God. We see the trees which were dead throughout the winter time. They're now beginning to burst forth with buds, and soon the leaves will appear. From the dead, from that which is lie in deadness, cometh forth life. And when we look at the budding and the leafing of the trees, we immediately think of the resurrection of Christ from the dead. Not only that, we think of the abundant life and the eternal life that Christ gives to the believer the moment that he's saved. My, the dead, those who are dead in sin and in trespasses, my, saved, when they come to Christ, they're given life, and they're given life abundant. Christ says, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Child of God, rejoice in this. If your name's written down in the Lamb's book of life, you'll never perish. Neither shall any man pluck you out of the Father's hand. Unsaved one tonight, you're dead and perishing in your sins. You're condemned already, the scripture says, condemned to the eternal flame. Listen tonight, you can have life. You can have life through Christ. The writer says, there's life for a look, the crucified one. There's life at this moment for thee. Then look, sinner, look unto him and be saved. Unto him who was nailed to the tree. We look at the trees that were dead all winter. They're beginning to bud. And soon they'll burst forth in life. Are you dead in sin? Do you want a life that's worth living? Come to Christ tonight. Come to the tree. Come to the cross. That's where you'll get life. We look at the ground bursting forth with flowers, colors of so many kinds. Little crocuses, the primroses, the daffodils coming forth. Colors all so bright, so varied. My, whenever the little crocus peeps up its head and bursts forth, there's so much color, it gives us hope that the dark winters of life and the troubles of life that darken our pathway will soon give way to glory and blessing and to eternal joy. My friend this evening, child of God, has it been a dark winter for you? Troubles in every hand, trials. Maybe life, when you're coming to the evening time of life, the night will soon fall for you. It has been a lifetime of troubles and anxieties. In fact, the scripture says, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble as the sparks fly upward. Oh, but for those who die in Christ, it's going to be a glorious morning. My eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. Oh, if your winter has been dark, look at the little flowers and take heart. There's going to be a glorious, glorious day. But Solomon adds a little sentence into verse 12, and he says, the time of the singing of the birds has come. And isn't that true? Isn't that what's beginning to happen? I love the little birds. I have four bags of nuts hanging out just outside the kitchen window. Love to see them flying in the colours. My, just to hear them singing a little song. Isn't it true that that time the singing of the birds has come? It's nigh on to us. The cuckoo storm, I don't know if you've ever heard of it here in Lisburn. The cuckoo storm and the swallow storm that the old people used to talk about back at home will soon arrive. Cuckoo comes in April. You can be sure it'll ride in on the wings of a storm. The swallows will come. You can be sure that they'll ride in on the wings of a storm. The swallow will soon appear. And I'm sure in certain places, even already the little birds can be heard singing their morning chorus. The other evening, a couple of weeks ago, the weather was nicer. The weather was warmer sitting in my study. The door was open and I could hear the little birds singing their song, so sweet, so beautiful. While looking out the window, I could see the flight of the little birds. I could see the flowers appearing in the flower beds. Oh, how beautiful it is to see the springtime. You know, as I looked at these little birds and as I looked at the flowers, I thought surely God has something to say to us through them. And so tonight I want us to consider this text. Flowers appear in the earth. The time of the singing of the birds has come. Now firstly, when we look out, we're reminded of the wisdom and the goodness of God. Let us listen to the anthem of the birds. Let us listen to the song of the little birds in the morning and the evening. And you know, we have to wonder at the wisdom of the great Creator, who gave every little bird its own voice to sing, its own individual songs. No choir and no orchestra, with all their training and with all their instruments, can ever match or come near to the music of the little birds as they sing in the garden. Oh, the wisdom of God in the bird's song. The wisdom of God is also seen in the structure of the wings of the little things. We look at the birds in the garden. We look at them as they flutter coming into to the bag of nuts. We look at them coming in to land at the table. We look at the little birds and we notice the swiftness of their wings. Then we look up into the sky. And soon we'll see the swallow and the swift, gliding with their wings outstretched, motionless and yet gliding. And we wonder at the wisdom of the hand that made those little wings so strong and so swift. Down where our man says, all the eagles have been flying about the birds of prey, whether are there their wings stretched out, swifting along, gliding so quickly. All the wonder. They tell us that evolved. Not a word of it. The wonder that there is in the little birds of the air. But especially when we see the birds return on the wings of the storm in April, to stay with us for the summer and to rear their young. And then in the autumn when we see them lining up to make their flight away again to warmer climates and far off lands, just think of it. Those little birds, they need no compass. They need no map to find their way. And yet they come to us and they go away each year without fail, and they never seem to get lost. We have to marvel at the wisdom of God. And we see the little birds and we hear their song. But when we see the return of the swallows and the swifts, with their song, and when we see the budding of the trees and the hedges, when we see the flowers appearing on the earth, when we see the radiant color, we have to think of the goodness and the mercy of the Lord towards us. And you know, we don't deserve one bit of it. God would have been just if he'd have left us in the midst of winter all year. He would have been just because we have sinned against him. But can I say, for all this, for all that we see in nature, for all that we see in the springtime, for all that we see in the birds and in the flowers, for all the wisdom and the goodness that we find at this time of the year, still it all fades away to nothing when we come to Calvary. We see the wisdom and the mercy and the goodness of God and the work of salvation at the cross. My, what wisdom. A sin at Calvary. Who would or who could have devised the work of salvation and redemption through the death of Christ? Only God. Who else would have sacrificed his only begotten son to redeem sinful man? Who else would have shown such mercy? Who else would have shown such goodness and kindness? Only God. Who else would have sent his only son to the cross? Who else would have given his son to die for guilty sinful man? Who else would have redeemed a sinful world? Only God and Christ Jesus. The hymn writer says there was no other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the gate of heaven and let us in. Yes, we see the mercy and the goodness and the wisdom of God in the springtime, but we see it infinitely more in the cross of Calvary and in the crimson blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we hear the mercy and the goodness of God in the singing of the birds, but we hear it more so at the cross of the Savior. Remember what he said when he died upon the cross. Father, forgive them. My, what mercy, what goodness, what forgiveness. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Oh, tell me tonight, will you not come to the one who gave the earth its color? Will you not come to the one who gave the birds their flight and their song? Will you not come to the great Creator? Will you not come to the Lord Jesus Christ tonight and put your faith and trust alone in him for eternity? Will you not come to him tonight and be saved? Tell me why. Why will you go on in the deadness of sin? Why will you go down to the darkness and the blackness of a lost eternity? God in his wisdom sent his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die upon the cross for you. The Lord Jesus Christ in mercy, he took your place. He shed his blood that you might be saved. Tell me, why will you go on tonight in your sin? Why will you go on down to hell when there's so much mercy at the cross? Christ is the only one who can save you tonight. Our sister, when she was singing, she spoke of a friend that has passed away. The end of January, you may remember, was a fatal accident down the Ballygolly line from Dungannon to Ballygolly. It was Friday night, Saturday morning. Got the phone call at 4:30 in the morning. Bad news for you. Ashley was killed last night. 20 years of age. Young person, tonight I plead with you in the Savior's name. Don't you put it off. The winter is past, it'll soon be gone. This could be your last opportunity to get right with God. I know you've heard that many times, but listen, one time it's going to be true. One time the preacher is going to be right. Listen, young people, you may be young, and you may say I've many years yet. Have you? Young man, 42 years of age in the Moira roundabout last week, he's gone. Pastor's son. Are you 42 years of age tonight and you're not saved? What if it had been you? Oh, tonight you see the wisdom and the goodness and the mercy of God at Calvary. Come to the cross tonight and be saved. Come to the cross. The fool hath said in his heart, there's no God. The wise maketh preparation. Come to the cross tonight and be prepared for eternity. We see also in the springtime the faithfulness of God. In Genesis chapter 8, after the flood had receded and Noah and his family came out of the ark, God gave them a promise, saying in verse 21 and 22 in Genesis 8, "Neither will I again smite any more everything living as I have done. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease." And here in the Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 11, when Solomon writes, "For lo, the winter is past," that is a fulfillment of that promise in Genesis chapter 8. And it proves to us the faithfulness of our God. And even so in verse 12, when he writes, "The flowers appear in the earth, the time of the singing of the birds has come." When we see the coming of the flowers and when we hear the singing of the birds, remember this, it's a sign of the faithfulness of God. You look at the little flower in the morning and you say, "Our God is faithful." Child of God, when you see the little flowers and hear the birds singing, and when you hear their anthem, listen carefully, for there you have the faithfulness of God to his promises. When the birds sing their chorus, bring to mind the promise of God for each new day. "Lo, I am with you always." You've come to church tonight and my, there's troubles in every hand and you feel all alone. Look at the little flower. Remember the promise of God. "Lo, I am with you always." Look at the little flower and remember God's promise. "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Look at the little flower and remember the promise of God. "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. Through the fire, thou shalt not be burnt, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee." Look at the little flowers in the morning. Listen to the song of the birds and remember, we have a God who keeps his promises. You say, "Preacher, that's easy for you." Do you really think so? Do you think preachers don't have their problems? I have to go to the Royal Hospital this week. I don't ask for your sympathy, but I would love your prayers. I have to get a scan in this eye. With this eye, I can't see your faces tonight. I have to get laser treatment or else an injection. But I know this, when I go through the waters, he will be with me. Because God keeps his promises in the little flowers. Prove that he does. And see it, one that's another promise. And it's a promise for you. Promise for you tonight. In John chapter 6 verse 37 he says, "Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." You say, "Preacher, would you read that again?" Yes. John 6 verse 37, "Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." Listen, when you see the little flowers peep, when you hear the little birds sing, God is saying to you, "Come on to me, I won't cast you out. I will keep my promise." God's saying to you, every time you see the little flower, he's saying, "If you come to me, I'll not cast you out. I'll save you." Tell me, is it not time that you came to Christ? You've put it off for another winter. Beginning of the winter, that old devil says, "Take another winter out of it." And you said, "All right, I'll take the winter out of it." And now it's coming to that time when you made a promise to get right with God. And the old devil's saying, "Take the springtime out of it." Listen, come tonight. Come tonight. There'll be many's a poor soul. We'll never see the end of spring. The man is a poor soul. I'll never see the summer's day. And it could be you. You think it won't? Why not? It could be you tonight. Oh, my friend, it's time you got right with God. Birds, the flowers appear on the earth. The time of the singing of the birds has come. Listen, my friend, time is quickly slipping away. And with time is slipping away every opportunity to get saved. Don't you wait until it's too late, but come to Christ tonight. There's another promise. Another promise which our faithful God will keep. He says in John 14, I will come again. Springtime has come. My, we have welcomed it with open, thankful arms. After the long, dark, cold winter that we have endured, we welcome the springtime. I don't know about you, but I'm watching for the swallows to come back for the summer. I'm listening for the birds' song. My Mahina comes, my heart will be lifted, but Christ is coming. My Christ could be here before the swallows come. Christ is coming again. He has promised that he will come, and Christ will keep his promise someday and soon. Someday the archangel will shout, and the last trumpet will sound, and the Lord will appear. Tell me, if it's before the summertime, are you ready? Are you ready to meet with God? Are you saved? My, when he comes again, it'll not matter if you're young or if you're old. Ready, or you'll be left behind. If the Lord came tonight, if you heard the trumpet, if you heard the voice of the archangel, tell me, are you ready to go? Or reading this wee verse 10. Says, rise up, my love, my fair one. Come away. I was helping out in the church in Kilkeel. There was a man driving a lorry. He was taking the boat the evening before. He was parked up just on the other side of Stranraer. He wakened up in the morning and he took out his daily devotion. This was the verse. He phoned back to his wife. He says, you know, I don't understand it. Rise up, my love, my fair woman, come away. He says, I don't understand it. Chatted to his wife, asked how she was, asked about the children. A young man, he pulled the lorry out onto the road. Went up the road only a few miles. I don't know what happened, but the lorry overturned and he was killed. Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. That's what he did from the road of Scotland. He rose up to be with Christ. My thought, had it been you, was it up or down? Are you rising up tonight? Or if you don't make it home, are you going down to hell? What is it? Oh, finally, very quickly, let us notice the fatherly care of God. When the singing of the bird comes, the building of the nest, you never see the crows gather the twigs in the winter to build their nest, but they're beginning now. You watch them. You never see the garden birds gathering the moss to line their little nests. But soon, they'll be gathering the moss. And as I've said, soon the swallows will return on the wings of a storm. Soon they'll be gathering the mud to renovate or to rebuild their little homes. But you will notice that the birds will build their nest with an eye to safety, safety of their young. Build their nests and protect their young against the elements and the weather, against intruders. The old folk used to say that when the crows build high in the tops of the trees, that it's a sign of a good summer. When they build further down the trees, it's a sign of a bad summer. And when the little birds and the swallows and the swifts, they build high up in the eaves of the houses and among the rafters and the barns, the birds build their nests where they know that their young will be safe and where the young can rest safe and secure from harm. They take such care for their own. The problem with man is that they don't have the good sense to build like the birds do. The Lord spoke of two men who built their nests or built their houses. One was foolish and he built his house upon the sand. And when the storm came and when the judgment came and when the rains fell, his house was destroyed and it fell and great was the fall of it, the scripture says. The other man, he was wise and he built his house upon the rock. He took care to build where he knew that he would be safe. And when the storm came and when the rains fell, when the judgment day came, his house stood firm. Tell me tonight, what are you building upon for eternity? Are you building in a sure place? Are you building upon Christ? Are you trusting in him alone? Are you saved? Are you born again? That's all that really matters, folks. All that really matters. That you're saved. Sadly, some men, maybe someone tonight, and they're building upon the twigs of good works. I got a phone call about 3 weeks ago now. Lady, she's not saved herself. She says, Jeffrey, would you call in and see my daddy? He's in the home. Knocknacloy, 92 years of age. He wasn't saved. She says, he's talking about being born again. And she says, would you go in and speak to him? He's heard you preaching in the home. Will you go in and speak to him? I went in. Old Willie, or Jimmy, says to me, he says, you know, I've never drank and I've never smoked. Surely I'll be all right. Oh no, Jimmy. You'll not be. Maybe tonight you're building upon the twigs of good works. You've been as good as the other man, as good as some Christians. And you think, surely I'll be all right. No, you'll not. Except a man be born again. He cannot see the kingdom of God. You say, well, I've been confirmed, I've been baptized, I've done this and done that. You're building upon the twigs of religiosity and ceremony, and you say, surely that I'll be all right. No, you'll not. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. I tell you, you can build upon the twigs of good works. And you can build upon the twigs of ceremony. But when the storm of God's judgment falls, you will perish. Your twigs on which you stand will snap and you will fall into a Christless hell. My friend, you need to be saved. It's the only thing that will open the gates of heaven and let you in. You need to be saved. There's a place where you can be saved tonight. It's at the cross. There's only one sure foundation for you for eternity. That's in the finished work of Calvary. Tell me, will you come to the cross tonight? Will you repent of your sin and receive Christ as your Savior? Young person, I'm finishing, for I have to get back to the young people's meeting in Knocknacloy. But young person, maybe you're planning to come and you're saying, Mr. Abram, I'll speak to you tonight. Are you sure I might not get to Knocknacloy? You might not get to Knocknacloy. Young person, what about it tonight? Will you come to the cross? Will you repent of your sin and receive Christ? Here's the invitation. Will you come? Older person, you have put it off. You've took the winter out of it. You've promised that you'll come in the springtime. Flowers have appeared on the earth. The time of the singing of the birds has come. Will you keep your promise? Older person, will you get right with God tonight? What about it? You know you need to be saved. All the uncertainty of life and the certainty of death, you know you need to be saved. What about it tonight? Will you come? Spirit of God's working, tugging on your heartstrings. Will you come tonight? Let's bow together in a wee word of prayer. And just take one wee moment. God has been speaking to you. Will you lift up your hand and say, Mr. Abram, Mr. Douglas, I'll come to Christ tonight. The Lord has spoken. The winter's passed. You know you need to be saved. You're not sure if tomorrow. Will you come to Christ tonight? If you want to, just lift up your hand. We'll acknowledge it. I'm not going to stretch it out. What about it tonight? Will you come to the cross? You ask the Lord Jesus Christ to save you. Just lift up your hand. Just lift up your hand and tell us. Can't save you, but we'll point you to the one who can. Come to the cross tonight. Maybe you don't want to lift your hand. You don't want to. You just can't do it, but you'd love to be saved. Speak to us afterwards. But even where you're sitting, just say, Lord, here am I, a guilty sinner. I ask you now to save me. If you do that, and if it comes from your heart, I tell you, the Lord will save you. Just pray, Lord, I'm a guilty sinner. I ask you now to save my soul. Our Heavenly Father, give enabling grace tonight. Thou art speaking, thou art working. Lord, only thou can save the soul. O God, tonight we pray, even in these closing moments, when the battle for souls is on, Lord, we pray that thou will give deciding and give enabling grace. Tarry with us now, speak on while the voice of man is silent, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.